Blog Talk Radio.
Rob?
Dr. Dre, what's happening, big money?
Sorry about that, man. I had an audio problem, and I apologize. Sorry about that. You good?
Oh, yeah.
Rob, all right. Sorry about that.
Woo-hoo!
Happy Mardi Gras. What's happening, people?
Your time is up. My time is now. You can't see me. My time is now. It's the franchise where I'm shining now. You can't.
Yeah.
The time is now, people.
The time is literally now. And I, woo, I apologize. I had so much fun stuff going on. I had little technical difficulties, but all is well. So now that
we're still having a hangover, people, it's Mardi Gras.
I don't think that's the case. Anyway, of course, it is. Of course, welcome to Talking Sports with Talkman. I am Andre Peterson, joined by Robert for today. It is obviously February the 12th. Man, we got a packed show tonight, as always. Without further ado, I got to check in with my co-host, Mr. Rob Ford. How are you doing this evening, sir, on this Mardi Gras Tuesday? How
yeah, doing, man? Doing great. I tell you, we have about a little less than 2 hours to go before they shut the party in down, and we move on to Lent. But happy Mardi Gras to everyone out there tonight.
Gotcha. Well, as always, you know, before we let Robert enjoy himself too much, we're going to jump into a lot of fun things. And the football's kind of going out, but we're still going to keep it going. We got a lot of topics. We're going to talk about some basketball and also talk about, hopefully, maybe we can get to the mock draft, Robert's 3.0 mock draft. So a lot of fun things to talk about.
Oh, yeah, we got some exciting news on that front.
Good deal. For those who want to call on the show, The number to call us is 424-243-9519. You can also follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. Also, we're on Facebook, 12th Man Sports as well. So you got a lot of ways to get in touch with us. Definitely tell us your thoughts. And without further ado, sir, let's kind of jump into the first topic of the evening. And we're going to jump right into some college basketball, which is, I think it's a great opportunity. And we're going to talk about Kentucky. Will they be a contender for the tournament, for the big dance? Robin, I'm going to kind of leave this off with you, sir. Get your thoughts about this, and what do you think about Kentucky?
Well, obviously some very bad news for the Kentucky Wildcats tonight. Nerlin Knowles, who I believe is their best player on the team, their freshman big man, carted off the court on tonight in their loss to Florida. And I would have to say even before that, they were on shaky ground. They were, you know, kind of moving up a little bit, moved back into the top 25. But now, if, you know, we don't know how serious this injury is going to be with Nerlin Noel, but obviously, in my opinion, he was the best player, had the most impact on their ball club, and now he gets carted off the court. So our prayers are with him and hope that he has a quick recovery. We'd love for him to come back and play this season and, you know, recover from this. So we have to stay tuned for that. But I think even with him returning, I think they're a Sweet 16 team at best. I don't think they're competing for a national title like they did last year. You got to realize last year's team had a top two picks in the NBA draft, Anthony Davis, Michael Kidd Gilchrist, even though they were freshmen. And that team just gelled and had a lot of chemistry right away, similar to the old Fab Five team that Michigan had back in, you know, the early 90s. Even though Michigan didn't win a title, they gelled pretty quickly. And that's what last year's Kentucky team just did. And like I said, they had the two best players in the draft. This Kentucky team doesn't quite have that kind of talent. Even though they're loaded with freshman stars, a lot of these guys need to come back and play a little bit further.
Good stuff, Rob. Yeah, I kind of agree with you. It's interesting because this is a team that typically Kentucky's in the, you know, John Calipari's been pretty fortunate to kind of just be loading. You know, he's kind of like the Alabama of college basketball. He's been getting, like, a lot of talent. And as mentioned, I don't think they have a lot of the pieces just yet. So, you know, they're talented. But, you know, as mentioned, this is a team that just hasn't had the chance to gel. And like you said, big injury to one of their top players as well, too. So it's going to be rough for them. And, you know, like you said, I don't think anyone's feeling sorry for them, obviously. But it's going to be tough for them to make any moves, as you said.
Exactly. I would, like I said, definitely have to agree with that. And we have to stay tuned. And once again, our prayers are with Nerlin Noel. Hopefully he's okay. Being carted off the court tonight in Florida's big victory over Kentucky tonight.
Yeah. Well, good deal. Let's keep it going, Robin. Obviously, since you said that Kentucky is a Sweet 16 team, let's kind of focus on some teams that we think are going to be in the Final Four. And this is pretty interesting. We'd love to hear your thoughts as well. And I'm being generous tonight, Rob. I'm, you know, since it's Mardi Gras, I'm kind of going to let you take a lead a lot of these. So once again, let's get you your thoughts on some Final Four teams and if it's changed from whenever we first talked about something earlier this year, too, because I know we had our preliminary Final Fours. But let's see what's going on with yours this time, sir.
Well, obviously, I think there's a lot of changes at the top in college basketball. It seems like every week the number one team loses. And but I still like the Indiana Hoosiers. I like this ball club, Cody Zeller. You know, the best big man in the country. He's got a lot of great perimeter players on his ball club. I also like the Miami Hurricanes. Yes, the Miami Hurricanes in college basketball. I know they're a football powerhouse historically, but this team is so athletic, and they're so – they get out and run the court, you know, very well. They run and jump like deers. This team is one of the most athletic teams in college basketball. I really like this Miami Hurricanes team. They're just blowing people out. You know, right now I have them making it to the Final Four. And, you know, the hated Duke Blue Devils. Yes, the hated Duke Blue Devils. I don't like Duke, but I give credit where credit is due. Right now they would be in my Final Four. And the fourth team in my Final Four has been a tough decision between Florida and Michigan State. I'm going to go with the Florida Gators. I think Billy Donovan is one of the most experienced coaches in America. He's got a lot of talent on his ball club. And they seem to be gelling at the right moment. And even though they're ranked seventh in the country right now, I believe that when it's all said and done, they're a Final Four team with Duke, Miami, and the Indiana Hoosiers.
That's a pretty good, very interesting Final Four, Rob. And this is an evolving one. It's pretty impressive. At this time, we're pretty similar on the first one, and that's Indiana. They've been playing lights out. Good that you were mentioning that in spite of the number one rankings, every team that's been in that position, they've been getting beat, but I still think they're going to be a pretty challenging team. I still like Michigan for some reason. You know, I know obviously they've been kind of struggling this past couple weeks, but I still like them. Also like Louisville, and I also like Miami too. So those are the teams that I know we've kind of evolved for some things too, but that's where I like as far as the Final Four. For college people.
I don't think you saw the Michigan game tonight, did you?
I didn't watch it tonight, no. What's going on with that?
Oh, wow. Michigan State just hammered them by 30-something points.
They just had an off night, Rob.
Yeah.
So was it that bad? They're not even going to – they shouldn't even be considered as far as that, you think, or what?
Well, obviously, Michigan still has talent on that ball club, you know, and so I definitely was Trey Burke, Glenn Robinson, Jr.,
mm-hmm. Tim Hardaway Jr.
as well. So, I mean, mm-hmm. They definitely have a lot of talent on that ball club. And definitely could rise to the occasion at any given time. And, well, I tell you what, Tom Izzo is slowly but surely have Michigan State on the gel at the right moment. So look out for that ball club as well.
You got to like Michigan State. They're always at that thing. Tom Izzo always has a team ready for a tournament too. So,
and you know they're gonna bring defense. And if you can travel with a defense, you're going to have a shot to win in college basketball.
That's true. Man. Tom Izzo is definitely one of the top guys as far as that. Once again, we're having fun, obviously, guys. For those who want to definitely give us your thoughts on this one on the number to call the show, it's 424-243-9519. And we're going to keep it rolling. Rob, this is a very, very interesting question. Who do we think is the best team in college basketball? We'll see if Rob is once again going to show some love to the Blue Devils. I'm just joking. Who do you think, Rob, is the best team in college basketball as we speak?
I'm going to cautiously say Indiana. I'm going to still say Indiana. I just think, you know, when you get down to the NCAA tournament, you become a little bit more of a half-court game. And Cody Zeller is still the best big man in the country. And Indiana has the right pieces around them. But there are some teams I will be aware of. Like I said, Miami Hurricanes, they're undefeated in the ACC. They've blown out Duke, North Carolina, just about everybody else they've played. So I would be leery of Indiana. You know, I would be leery of Florida, and I would be leery of Michigan State. I think Duke can make it to the Final Four, but I don't think they're national championship caliber. And so those are just some teams that I would be leery of. I'm going to cautiously say the Indiana Hoosiers right now are the best team in college basketball.
Give it up. The Hoosiers, that's my state, that's my home state. yes, sir, you got to be happy with what they're doing, too. Like you said, right now they're playing with a lot of confidence. They're definitely, if you would say, they're definitely one of these teams that they're kind of proving a lot of teams wrong, and they've got that target on their back, but they just keep on winning. You know, like I said, they got a lot of confidence. Azelish playing well, as you mentioned. He's got a great coach. Tom Crean is doing his thing. They still have to prove a lot of stuff, too, but right now, you know, they're definitely in the driver's seat. And there's a lot of basketball to be played. Like I said, right now, let's see if they're going to keep under that number one ranking. They've had a couple upsets, but they're still, like you said, the team to beat. You got to like what you're talking about with Miami. That's a scary team. And at first, I really wasn't expecting Miami to come out of nowhere and kind of do their thing. So there's some teams that you got to keep an eye on and see if they're able to definitely handle that pressure, sir.
Absolutely.
I love it, I love it, I love it. So we're going to talk about some rivalries here, and where would we be without some great, great rivalries? And I guess a big one's coming up, as always, and that's Duke and North Carolina. And you posed this question, though: do you think it's the greatest rivalry in sports? And, you know, I'm going to take the lead on this one. It's definitely up there, Rob, and I'm sure everyone has their own personal favorite rivalries. You can obviously argue Michigan and Ohio State is up there, in addition to Duke and North Carolina. And right now, I would say that's the Michigan-Ohio State is kind of the first one, only because, and that's by a slight nod, but I definitely think that this is a great, great rivalry. You're tuned in no matter what. You can throw the records out. This is going back for ages. So I'll lean to you and kind of hear your thoughts about this rivalry, sir.
Well, I definitely think the Duke-Carolina rivalry is definitely near the top. And the reason why I'm going to say that is because, for the most part, they both are always excelling. And, of course, Duke and Carolina is playing tomorrow night. That's why this question is being brought up. And I like Duke to win the game, even though I'm a Tar Heel fan. The Tar Heels, you know, James Michael McAdoo is about the only true NBA prospect on their roster this year. And he doesn't have a, you know, killer instinct. And so this is just a North Carolina team with a bunch of average players outside of him. And so I do like Duke to win the game. But getting back to the question, and I do think they are one of the top rivalries just because they're typically both are in the top five or top ten in the country when they're playing. I'm going to say Yankees-Red Sox is the number one rivalry in sports for the same reason. They're both typically competing for division championships. And that's a huge rivalry up there in the Northeast. You can't wear a Yankees hat in Boston. You can't wear a Red Sox hat in New York. So I'm going to say that's the overall number one rivalry in sports. And plus, it's just because it's just been going on for so long. But I have Duke and Carolina in basketball, number two. Like I said, just because of their longevity of success is the reason why we rate them number two. Number three, I'm going to go with Auburn, Alabama. And the reason why we'll put Auburn, Alabama, just Auburn this past season, just a horrible year. And so sometimes both of these teams are not at an elite level at the same time, like Duke and Carolina is, and like for the most part the Yankees and the Red Sox. And I've had the opportunity to be in the state of Alabama when Auburn and Alabama took place, and the whole state just seems to shut down when those two teams are playing. So I'm going to rate them number three. I like your comment on Michigan, Ohio State. I rate them number four, and I'm going to go Lakers-Celtics number five in my top five rivalries in sports.
That is phenomenal work, Rob. Good job putting that together. You know, any one of us can have our own personal rivalries that we think are pretty phenomenal. And, you know, I think I can agree with you. I mean, maybe not the order is the same, but within there you pretty much nailed the most riveting rivalries, if you will, and good stuff. But for all of you, definitely, we're going to post that on our Facebook page, Rob, as far as our top rivalries, and see if we get some feedback about this, because
yeah.
I'm sure everyone would like to hear some, you know, feedback and what they think. You know, you can go back to the Bears-Packers. I mean, we can be going on for forever as far as this, too. But, you know, obviously, even within our own state, you know, the Saints and Falcons, that probably won't garner as much. But, you know, there's a lot of different rivalries out there. I'm sure we'd love to hear your feedback on that, too. So
yeah. And the Saints-Falcons may be one of the hottest rivalries now, but historically, you know, that rivalry just doesn't measure up to the five we just mentioned. You know, hopefully, you know, to get to that point. But historically, the Saints and the Falcons have been dormant franchises up until about the last 5 to 10 years or so. They're both starting to show some signs of success. And the five that we mentioned, obviously, is and, you know, you can also talk about the Bears and Packers. You can possibly mention that in there as being a possible knocking on the door top five as well.
Gotcha. Yeah, good stuff. We've got about 11 minutes left in the show, and we're going to actually switch gears to a little NFL football. I'm hearing some reports, too, for our listeners out in the Bay Area that word on the street is that the 49ers will actually release Alex Smith, and they cannot find a trade partner. So we'll keep an eye on that, how that situation is going to go. So, unfortunately for Alex Smith, looks like his we knew that his days were numbered because of the play of Colin Kaepernick, but we'll see how that plays out, too. But I'll let you comment on that in a quick. I'll let you comment on that, sir. In addition to an interesting report about Percy Harvin and Adrian Peterson basically saying he wouldn't trade Percy Harvin, so that's kind of an interesting piece. And we'll also jump into the mock draft later on in the show, too. So I hit you with a lot of different subjects, Rob. You can start wherever you want to start, either Alex Smith, you can start about Adrian Peterson, and then we'll jump into the NFL mock draft later on in the show. So you got the floor.
Yeah, just to cover that Alex Smith situation here. We obviously know that he's not going to be a 49er. I think if you're a 49er fan or anyone in the organization, they will prefer to trade him to get some kind of return for him. And obviously, you know, some NFL teams are going to try to play their hand and say, hey, well, you know, if they can't trade him, they're going to release him. I think if multiple teams start to garner interest in him, then somebody's going to bite the bullet and trade for him. But if there's not a lot of interest for him, as far as a trade partner or showing interest in him, then the 49ers are going to have to go ahead and release him. And obviously, I think there will be somebody that will pick him up. I think two candidates right off the jump will be a team like the Kansas City Chiefs, the Arizona Cardinals, Buffalo Bills are all possibilities. I kind of like him to possibly go to Arizona, but we'll kind of wait and see and how the situation kind of shakes out. And Adrian Peterson made the comment, there are some rumors going around and the Vikings are considering trading Percy Harvin. Obviously, he's still a dynamic football player. Hasn't turned out to be an elite receiver, but I would say he's definitely a solid receiver and could definitely help some ball clubs. He's definitely an elite return guy in a kick return, a punt return game. So I definitely think he can have an impact on a ball club. He has some injuries concerns. Adrian Peterson makes the comment, says, I wouldn't trade Percy Harvin for anyone. And I will have to agree. I think this is jumping the gun a little too soon on the Vikings' part. I think they're maybe giving up on Percy Harvin a little bit too soon if they trade him this season. I think the Vikings don't really have that many offensive weapons. So in my opinion, they can't afford to trade a guy like Percy Harvin. And I think they would be making a mistake if they decide to trade him. I don't know your comments on that.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% because it's one of the situations, too. And maybe this is – maybe he's frustrated, Rob. Percy Harvin, that is. And you know, I still think it stems from not really having that that quarterback. No disrespect to Christian Ponder. He's a young guy. And maybe you're trying to, you know, figure out his growth process. But right now, as you mentioned, it's all Adrian Peterson. If you're Percy Harvin, maybe you'd like to get the ball a little bit more, get a chance to make some plays. And, you know, maybe that's the offensive system. You know, I don't really know. But that's kind of where I think it's coming from. I do think Percy Harvin is extremely talented. As you mentioned, you'd rather have him on your team than not. And right now maybe there's another player out there that's kind of comparable. So, you know, if you're Adrian Peterson, maybe you want to just kind of pacify him and say, hey, look, you know, we're going to grow. Maybe it's that missing piece at the quarterback position that, you know, maybe we can open up the offense a little bit more. And definitely help Mr. Harvin, too. Don't be a discontent or a malcontent. You may get traded like Titus Young or something like that. But, you know, definitely just be patient. And I definitely think you're going to get involved in the offense, Percy. So that would be my advice, if I can give some advice, too.
I definitely totally agree with you there.
Yeah. Another quick comment. I don't know if you want to comment on this, Rob, too, in that the Eagles have actually chosen to actually give another contract. Well, Mike Vick, he's going to get a one-year deal. Chip Kelly has decided to give Mike Vick another shot. It's only a one-year deal, so he has to prove himself in that particular offense. I don't know if you want to say anything about this particular move because I didn't think that the Eagles were going to bring him back, but they're going to give him one more shot. So I don't know if you want to comment on this as we move on, before we move on to more topics, sir.
Well, I think we may have mentioned this on some previous shows here. I think once Chip Kelly was the guy for the Eagles, I think, you know, there was a good chance that Mike Vick will be back just because, you know, they need a quarterback like that who can run and throw. And I think Chip Kelly is going to give him a one-year, you know, chance to really be his guy. And if he has a great season, he could possibly be the guy for the next 3 to 4 years. They're looking for somebody that can run this pistol and his read option play, you know, similar to the Colin Kaepernicks, the Russell Wilsons, the RG3s. And they want to see if Vick still has it. And I think it's a smart move because it would be hard to find a guy like that in the draft or in free agency. So what you do is you restructure Mike Vick's contract. Obviously, you know, his contract was probably a little bit too high based on his performance. So they restructure. They give him a one-year deal with incentives that could lead this contract to being a $10 million deal. So, Chip Kelly saying it's an open competition. But in my opinion, Chip Kelly wants to run a read option offense. Mike Vick, it has to be the favorite to be the starter on this upcoming season. And it gives an opportunity for Chip Kelly to evaluate him and see if he can be the quarterback for the next 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, Mike Vick always seems, it's almost an interesting situation because he's always seemed to be proving himself. But, you know, obviously he's overcome that before. And if you're Mike Vick, I'm sure this is a great opportunity for you. And hopefully, if you're a Philadelphia fan, I mean, I do think he does give you the best opportunity to win. Last year was kind of a tough year for him. The Eagles had a lot of challenges with the offensive line, just defensive things. It was just a rough year for the Eagles. So, you know, hopefully coming into this season, they're going to rectify a lot of those issues. And who knows? But we'll see how it's going to play out, as always. Once again, for those who want to call, I'm going to throw out the number one more time. Rob, we got about four minutes or so. We'll do some fantasy shout-outs, and we'll talk about Dwight and Kobe. But 424-243-9519, once again, is the number to call in. And also, like you said, give us those comments on Facebook and Twitter, all that fun stuff. Let's switch gears and let's talk about the Lakers. That seems to be a nice common soap opera, if you will. And the Dwight mare continues with Dwight Howard and Kobe. And the question is, will they ever turn into a dynamic duo? And my resounding answer to that is a resounding no. But what do you think, Rob, as we get ready to wrap up the end of the show?
I'm going to answer that with another resounding no, that they will not turn into a dynamic duo. And it looks like, I think if Phil Jackson was with the Lakers, I think he would be able to manage the situation a lot better. And I think Mike D'Antoni is part of the problem with the Lakers. I don't think he's managing the situation properly. And I don't think Kobe is handling the situation properly. I think a lot of times what you have to do as a star player, you have to be a leader, you have to make your other teammates better. But I think a lot of things has to be kept in the locker room and not told to the media. And I think that's where Kobe is going wrong in this situation. Obviously, Kobe's a great player, but, you know, and he wants more out of Dwight Howard. And I would agree. I think Dwight Howard can give them more as well. But I think some things need to be done behind the scenes with Kobe, Mike D'Antoni, and Dwight Howard that just is not getting done. And they may still sneak into the playoffs, but they're not going to go far. And I don't see Dwight Howard back with the Lakers next year at all. I think he's tired of it. I can see him right back in his hometown in Atlanta, or I can see him in Dallas next year.
This is so funny because, I mean, I think, and this is how the show has evolved. Because remember a couple weeks ago, Rob, we were talking about, you know, they had their little win streak and Kobe was becoming a point guard and all this. Everything was fine. And all of a sudden, it just gets to the point where they're starting to implode. And, you know, you nailed it right on the head. You know, Kobe's not doing what he needs to do. I mean, it's hard for you to be a leader if, you know, you're talking two sides of your mouth. You know, once you're encouraging folks, the other side you're talking about folks. That's not how you know, you become a leader. LeBron, and obviously I'm a huge LeBron fan, he's doing it both. He's actually letting his play speak on the court. He's encouraging his teammates. You know, he always says, hey, you know, he always steps up and takes the blame whenever things are going wrong. That's what a leader does, Rob, and I know I'd love to hear your thoughts. We got a minute and 37 seconds left, Rob. If you want to kind of add that quick thought, give some fantasy shout-outs, and set it up for the OT portion of the show if you want.
Yeah, I tell you what, people, all our draft nuts out there, we're going to be talking about the my 3.0 mock draft and our OT portion. So tomorrow, whenever you have a minute, click on the same link that you're listening to now, and you can listen to our draft coverage. We're going to be doing almost on a weekly basis up until the draft. Until then, otherwise, join us next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 5 a.m. for our friends down in Germany, and that'll be 10 p.m. Central and 8 p.m. Pacific. Once again, you don't want to miss our OT portion. Check us out on tomorrow to get into that. Shout out to Anthony Davis, the new number 23, as the leader in our fantasy basketball league. Good night, people.
Yeah, good night, people. I apologize for the technical difficulties at first, but we are good to go. And as Robert mentioned, we're going to keep...
He was having a Mardi Gras hangover, people.
I know about all that. It's all good. I wish that was the case, though. But like I said, we're going to definitely talk some draft talk. This is a fun time for us because almost like the NFL Network, football never ends for us. So we're going to jump into draft talk. Let us know what you want your team to do. Mr. Wayne DeGrange did a great email talking about a very descriptive thing about his beloved Saints. And it's always good to hear. So that's what we want to do. It's a lot of luck. So we'll keep it going for you guys and keep going for the OT players on the show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Finish strong, baby. Stand up and get strong.
Okay.
I love it, Rob. I try to get in there real quick because we're getting ready to jump off the official portion. We're now in the OT part of the show. And before we jump into the mock draft, real quick, let's talk about the top five teams in the NBA and also about LeBron having the greatest season in the NBA history. That's kind of a tall order, too. My top five teams, I'm going to fire this off real quick because I really want to get to your mock draft. My top five, obviously, the aforementioned LeBron James and the Heat. I like them. OKC, Oklahoma City, is doing their thing, man, a phenomenal record. The old guys, San Antonio, the Spurs, they're doing their thing as well. I continue to give them some love in addition to the other L.A. team. Everyone's been focused on the Lakers, but the Clippers have quietly been doing their thing. And my fifth team, Rob, it's kind of a toss-up, but I'm kind of going out to the New York Knicks. I can go to the Grizzlies, and I can go to the Pacers, who've been doing their thing too, but that's kind of my outside choices looking at for the top five teams.
Wow, I tell you, we have pretty much the same five teams, maybe in different orders here. Right now I have the old guys, San Antonio Spurs, number one. Very interesting how these teams just find a way to win every year. It's amazing. You got to tip your hat to Greg Popovich. And one of the things I'm always impressed with about the Spurs, you don't hear any bickering on that team. Guys just come to work and ready to play. They play the game the right way. They're not the most athletic team in the NBA by any stretch of the imagination. But they come to work, they play the game the right way. And yeah, I think if you're a basketball purist, you have to really be impressed by that. I don't think they're going to win a championship just because I think you need elite stars and athletes to win in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But it's great to see they have the best record in the league right now. They're playing extremely well. Sunday night they were trailing most of the game to Brooklyn. And then they just came out like gangbusters and blew them out. And then last night they beat the Bulls without Tony Parker, Ginobili, or Tim Duncan. It was just amazing. They just have guys that just come in and step up. Kawhi Leonard is coming into his own. You have to like what the Spurs are doing right now. I would have them at number one. Number two, I have OKC. And we're going to talk about LeBron in a minute, but I have OKC at number two. And actually, I think Kevin Durant is the MVP so far this season, in my opinion. And they're having a phenomenal year. It's going to be interesting. You know, Kevin Martin is that guy to come off the bench now, not James Harden. So we're going to have to see if that's going to hurt them a little bit in the playoffs. I still have them representing the West in the finals. Number three, I have the Miami Heat, the team who I still think will win it all in the end. But I think as of right now, we're talking about who the top five is right now. I have to like the Miami Heat. I think they just won their sixth straight game tonight with a comeback behind victory over Portland. And LeBron is on an incredible stretch right now for the last six or seven games with the numbers that he's putting up in his field goal percentage. And number four, I'm going with the Los Angeles Clippers. They're just getting Chris Paul and Blake Griffin back, and they've reeled off a couple of victories here in a row after getting into a little bit of a slump. But I think getting their guys back, you're starting to see them play the kind of basketball they were early in the year. And number five is the New York Knicks. And they're a timid number five. I think they can easily fall out of that spot. But right now, I still have them at number five. Carmelo's having an unbelievable shooting year. And still a little bit concerned about their defense in the end and how long can Jason Kidd hold up at his age. But right now, I have the Knicks at number five.
So talk about LeBron. What do you think about him having one of the most phenomenal years in NBA history right now?
LeBron is having a great year, but as I just mentioned, I think Kevin Durant is the MVP so far this year. But LeBron is having one of the most unbelievable stretches. If you look at his last 7-8 games and the numbers and the field goal percentage he's putting up, it's unbelievable. He's shooting over 70-80% a game in the last 6 or 7 games, and it's unheard of. This might be one of the greatest stretches in NBA history. I'm not going to say this is the greatest season in NBA history just yet, unless he just keeps playing like this in these last 30 or so games to go, then you can arguably say it might be the best season in NBA history. But right now, the stretch that he's playing is unbelievable. He's passing, he's rebounding, he's shooting a high field goal percentage. And I think the thing you have to like about LeBron James is every year it seems as though he adds something to his repertoire. And, yeah, I don't know if a couple of years ago they lost to the Dallas Mavericks in the finals, and LeBron just did not have a post-up game. And right after that, he went to work down in Houston with Hakeem Olajuwon. And you saw it last year in the playoffs. Even at 6'8", he was able to be a point guard or he was able to be a power forward for you. He can post guys up. Guys couldn't stop him in a block, and they couldn't stop him in the perimeter. And now this past offseason, he went out and improved his three-point shot. So now he's almost unguardable. If he's open, he's going to hit the three now. He's going to penetrate with force, and he can post you up now. And he's going to be a first-team all-defender. So it's going to be tough to, I think come playoff time, he's just going to be tough to beat as long as his team is healthy.
Yeah, it's amazing how this is a guy that we were pretty much, the whole world was pretty much, you know, talking about he was being defined as being a loser and just could not win the big game. And all of a sudden, after he got that one ring, and then he's just been working his tail off too. So I got to give it up to LeBron. He's definitely proven a lot to a lot of the doubters and the haters out there. And if you're Josh Smith listening to this, that's what you do, man. You go home, you work on your game, and you just become that max-type player, too. You don't just say that you're max, but you actually put the work in, you know. We always say deeds, not words, is what's going to take you to the next level, too. So you can say all you want, until you prove it, it doesn't mean anything. So I digress, Rob. Yeah. I didn't mean to talk about that. I got a little excited, too. But anyway.
Yeah, I know you got to throw in your Hawks every now and again, but it's all good. We're going to talk about our team.
Yeah, it's all good. Let's talk about the mock draft, sir. I'm very excited, man, to talk about this. And this is a pretty interesting draft because you've made some changes from the last time, and there's a lot of interesting surprises. So, obviously, we can't get to every single player right now, but it seems like, as we mentioned, it's a pretty good defensive draft. A lot of defensive ends out there. It's a pretty deep draft in that aspect. We've decided there's not any star players that we can see, but there's some good players that can help your team with what you're looking for. So, obviously, I like what you've done with some quarterbacks, and anything you want to kind of highlight as we move forward and as we talk about for those listening to the show and you know later on, definitely give us your thoughts and we'll definitely highlight your team. So, I'll open up the floor to you, Rob, and anything you want to highlight as we get ready to wrap up the show.
Well, obviously, I still have Geno Smith number one. I think, you know, half of the country is probably in agreement with me there, and the other half still doesn't think he's deserving of the number one pick. And, you know, just because he's the number one pick doesn't necessarily mean I think he's the best player in the draft. But I just think, you know, a lot of times teams will reach for a quarterback. Quarterback is the most important position in the game. You have to have one if you're going to have an opportunity to win. And I think that's what the Chiefs are going to do here. Andy Reid has reached for quarterbacks in the past, and I see them reaching slightly. And I don't think it's a big reach. I mean, maybe he could be somewhere realistically about 8 to 10, but I think the Chiefs take him at number one. And I have Matt Barkley in the first round now. I have him going number 8 to Buffalo. I think once you look at this kid's workouts, I think some scouts are already starting to realize, you know, his senior year, he was injured a lot, wasn't himself. A lot of scouts are going back, looking at a lot of old film to see what he was like before his senior season, and they're going to judge him based on his workouts. So I think he's still going to find a way to get into this first round. So that is a little bit of a change from my last draft. And you'll see in coming weeks I'll have some second and third round mocks, and you'll see Mike Lennon and Tyler Wilson as my early picks for the early second round when it comes to the quarterback position.
real quick, Rob, before, so you're trying to say you don't think that Geno Smith is a franchise quarterback? Is that what you're saying here? Or do you think he is a franchise quarterback?
I think he's going to be a solid. I think I would probably compare him to like a Joe Flacco kind of player. He throws a long ball just as good as anybody that has come into the draft in a long time. And Joe Flacco was a very good NFL quarterback. I don't know if he'll ever be considered great. And that's the kind of prospect I think you're looking at here with Geno Smith. If you have to grade him versus Andrew Luck and RG3, I don't think he would be picked ahead of any one of those two in the same draft. And
wow.
So I think Luck has an opportunity to be a Hall of Famer. And RG3, we have to look at, you know, see what kind of see if he can stay healthy. I think it was going to be the key for RG3. But I still think Geno Smith would have been picked third behind those two QBs if they were coming out at the same time.
Wow, interesting. And obviously, this is, I like how you got Matt Barkley on number 8 to Buffalo. That is an interesting surprise, too. Ryan Fitzpatrick is kind of hasn't really elevated himself like he should. And this is interesting, too, because your guy, the new coach, used to be coaching Syracuse, is now in place to Buffalo. So, this is interesting how you have him picking a quarterback.
Well, here's the deal here. I mean, Doug
Marrone
is coming in. He's coming in. He's going to run that Sean Payton offense. He's going to need a quarterback that can run that offense. And I think he's a first-year coach. He's going to look at an opportunity for a young quarterback that he can develop and build a program with. And I think that's what he's looking at with Matt Barkley here. And I still think Matt Barkley's got a lot of upside. You know, had a down senior year. Injury had a lot to do with that. Offensive line had a lot to do with that. The offensive line and injuries, no depth. And they were really hurting up front at USC last year. And I think, like I said, I think scouts are looking more in depth at a situation now. And I think you're going to see him be a first-round pick.
So, another quick question, too. I know you got Arizona picking Travis Jones, the outstanding and talented linebacker at Georgia, which is probably best player available for sure. Do you think they're going to be targeting a quarterback, or do you think they're kind of sick of retooling and kind of starting from start, if you will?
Well, I think they're going to evaluate every quarterback in this draft, and I wouldn't be surprised if they take one in the first round, but I think there are also some opportunities to grab one in the second round. You know, we talked about Mike Lennon and Tyler Wilson. You know, those are possibilities in the second round. You look at the QB from Syracuse. He's probably a guy that can possibly sneak in the second round or even in the third round as well. Well coached by Doug Marrone at Syracuse. So he's another, you know, possible target. And then he's still the Alex Smith factor out there. And right now, if I had to make a prediction, this is where I think if the 49ers release Alex Smith, this is where I think he may wind up. Now, I can't see the 49ers trading him to the Cardinals as a division partner. And so, but if there's an opportunity that he somehow gets released, Alex Smith, Southern California kid from San Diego, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he stays somewhere near to the West Coast and go to a team like Arizona.
Gotcha. Very interesting. So this is we really, hopefully, one of our shows, Rob, I want to spend some time just going over all these picks, and that it takes taking 30 minutes on the show. We'll definitely want to do that, too. We got about 3 minutes or so left in the show. I'm going to give you another quick minute to actually highlight anything that you wanted to point out in the draft as we start setting the stage for next week's show.
Well, Luke Jarko is still my number one pick in this, best player in this draft. I think he'd be a left tackle for 10 to 15 years in this league. I am going number 2 to Jacksonville. We don't know who Jacksonville's QB is going to be yet, but they'll definitely be set at the left tackle position. I've been getting a lot of heat from Eagles fans on Sports Goons. About them picking the defensive tackle at the number 4 position, Star Latuae from Utah. If you look at the Philadelphia Eagles, they couldn't stop the run. They were weak in the interior. You know, I know a lot of people saying Fletcher Cox and Cullen Jenkins are the answer, but you heard it here first. I believe they may cut Cullen Jenkins, and so they're going to need somebody else to play in the middle. And so don't be surprised where you're going to go there. I think I've even been getting some heat from Falcon fans about this mock draft, having a safety going in the first round, Matt Elam. And I think it's all contingent on if Tony Gonzalez comes back or not. And my gut is that he will come back for one more year. You may even have a thought or two on that. So I think they're going to skip the tight end. And I'm hearing that Mike Nolan has a strategic plan to defend the spread offense, and he's looking at playing some second and third downs and moving William Moore down a linebacker to have more speed on the field, which means they're going to need somebody to cover in the back end. You know, not sure if they want to spend that first round on the pick, but this is just an intriguing thought there.
Wow. Good deal. Like you said, man, you know, that's why they're all mock drafts. We get a chance to share our thoughts, but I like it. You know, like you said, hopefully we're in agreement. Hopefully that Gonzalez will come back. There's a lot of, you know, picks that are going to pan out as we start going out. But we got about a minute left, sir, so let's set the stage for next week as we get ready to wrap up another great edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man.
Thank you all for listening. Once again, tune in next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific, 5 a.m. in Hawaii. We still have a lot to talk about. College basketball heating up, NBA heating up, NFL draft talk. So make sure you join us on next Tuesday. Good night, people.
Baseball's around the corner, too. Some training camps, spring training will open up, too. So we'll throw some baseball talk in there as well. We try to be a good purveyor of all sports knowledge, too. So there's a lot of love. We'll talk to you guys next week, same time, same channel. We are out.